Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It is a big Football Friday live right here on Football Full Circle. That is FFC, all apart of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin, my brother from another mother. That is Joe Lisi, live right here on this Friday on FFC. I am Ben Stevens. We're having a good time entering this long holiday weekend. Here we are entering Memorial Day, Joe. We're not all that long after. We will have some big football news to break down. The guys returning back to campus in college football for summer workouts. And, of course, getting ready for the early stages of fall camp around the National Football League. The voluntary off-season workouts are underway. OTAs coming up very, very soon. We'll talk about some NFL news and notes on this Friday as well. And a lot to dive into in college football. Changes to the format of the 12-team college football playoff coming our way in 2025.
Yeah, so now we start to get a little shape for the NFL and college season. For the college season, with the seedings came out, and we're going to do it the correct way, right? For the college football playoff, we'll have much better matchups, I believe, going forward to a potential national championship game. It gives teams an opportunity to be rewarded in the regular season. And for the OTAs and, you know, the NFL, this is it now. You have the calm before the storm. We know about the teams. We know about the draft picks. Can they put it together? And we're right there. I mean, we talked about the usual suspects yesterday. The Philadelphia Eagles are the team to beat. And you can make the argument that maybe Kansas City might take a step back, Ben, but we'll see how that plays out in 2025.
Did you like my introduction, by the way, of how I built up this show and your credibility? No, you didn't. Okay.
No, yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, brother from another mother. Right. That's us. Right. We're brothers in arms. You know, this is it.
I just,
you know,
brothers in arms.
Two peas
always
in a pod. Two peas in a pod.
Brotherhood can mean. Pins. Right. Brotherhood can mean many a different thing to many a different people. I just thought that should be mentioned here from the very start. And that's how I feel about you, our relationship, and Football Full Circle as a whole. Some might call it the best radio show on this network. It's always a ton of fun, and it's not very scripted. But where we start our script on this Friday, Joe, that would be with the big news made official yesterday for the CFP. We discussed it at the end of yesterday's show on FFC. A call between college football playoff executives, more than likely happening yesterday afternoon, to determine the format for the college football playoff in 2025. Still 12 teams for now, but where it will be different, Joe, in 2025 than a season ago. Instead of the four highest ranking conference champions out of the five highest ranked conference title winners that earn that automatic bid, and those four highest ranked conference champions earning an opening round bye, by the time we get to the 12 teams in the CFP field, it will just be seeded based on the college football playoff selection committee. Straight seeding, Joe, as many had hoped after watching the first format play out in the 12-team era, is coming our way next season.
Yeah, and this is what really should have, you know, took place last year. The, you know, we talk about the extended playoffs, the opportunity for other teams, teams like Indiana and Boise State, to crack the top 12 and challenge for a national championship. And when everything was said and done, the biggest thing and takeaway after Ohio State won is, you know, how Oregon got seeded, how Penn State got seeded, you know, potentially a harder matchup for the Oregon Ducks being the best team in college football in the regular season, and Penn State having two potentially easier matchups before they squared off against Notre Dame. Now things will be right, potentially, and we'll see, obviously, which teams do make the top 12, but better seedings, better semifinal, maybe potential matchups, and even national championship matchups. and it still gives the opportunity for a group of five or a couple of group of five teams to crack the top 12.
Yeah, and Joe, that's a very important point as well. We are still going to allow an automatic berth to the college football playoff for the five highest ranked conference champions. Often, of course, we think of that as the Power Four in one group of five spot. Technically, it could be multiple group of five teams if there were multiple group of five teams high enough in the college football playoff selection committee's rankings on that final Sunday following conference championship weekend. Of course, the big change is no longer the automatic opening round bye for those four highest ranked conference champs. Now, naturally, maybe your follow-up question is, why would the lesser Power Four conferences or even those group of five leagues agree to this change in format? It seemingly only benefits the Big Ten and the SEC, at least based on last year's final rankings. It would have been two SEC schools and two Big Ten schools to earn that first round bye. Well, here might be part of the reason why, as it always is in college football. That would be revenue. That would be money. There will still be the $8 million incentive that goes to the four highest ranked conference champs, regardless on if they earn that opening round bye or not. So that remains, Joe. And there is the potential, perhaps, for that group of five champion or a Big 12 or ACC champion to host on campus an opening round playoff game, even if it means they don't earn that opening round bye. That leads to a ton of revenue, and a win in the college football playoff has its own financial incentives as well. Of course, Joe, this follows the initial year of the 12-team format in 2024 that all four of those top seeds that earned the first round bye got beat in their college football playoff quarterfinal matchup. Oregon in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State, Georgia in the Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame, Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl against Penn State, and of course Texas. Arizona State losing to Texas in that Peach Bowl in dramatic fashion in overtime.
Yeah, again, you looked at the potential matchups that we would have saw, right? You know, meaning right outside of what transpired out of the top four games. And there was the potential to have more competitive games in week number one if we did straight seeding. And that's right, exactly what you want, right? You know, we saw four potential blowouts, even though Indiana made it, you could say, competitive from the spread perspective and the closest game out of all four of the opening day matchups. But at the end of the day, you know, Tennessee would have had obviously a much better or much easier ride in round number one than squaring off against the national champion Ohio State Buckeyes, let alone in their building, right? So Oregon would have had a much easier ride. Now, I think, you know, the Arizona State game, that's great. Whoever got Arizona State, that would have been a competitive game no matter what, just on how the Sun Devils played last year and what and how they were built. But we would have had the potential to have better matchups in the semifinals and potential national championship game, and it would have been a much more difficult ride for Ohio State to potentially get there.
Yeah, and Joe, it's a great point that you bring up, right? Many people thought the Ducks did not get the benefit of the doubt of being the number one overall seed in the first ever 12-team format. I argued that we see that all the time in other sports leagues, professional or collegiately. You have a team that underperforms, at least based on relative expectation, at some point in the regular season, and thus they have a lower seed than maybe they are deserving of. That was Ohio State as the 8th seed. However, it is also worth noting that Ohio State finished ranked 6th in the final CFP rankings, would have been the 6th seed, taking on the 11th seed in Arizona State, would have been a very different looking bracket a year ago. We'll talk about what the bracket would have looked like last year. We'll talk about what a potential bracket looks like via the national championship odds in the future numbers for 2025 on the other side of the break as well. I do contend, though, Joe, as we discussed yesterday, that if the selection committee was working in the format that we will see in 2025 straight seeding, I don't think their final rankings at the end of conference championship weekend would have looked identical to what we see here. We'll talk about why, what it would have looked like, and what it could look like in 2025 on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle. We're just getting going on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
The college football playoff in 2025 for the second year of a 12-team format will look slightly different. We go to straight seeding this upcoming 2025 college football season. Joe, here is how the initial 12-team college football playoff bracket would have looked in a straight seeding model. The top four teams that would have earned that first round bye: Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Penn State. Of course, it was the Ducks beating the Nittany Lions in the Big Ten title game, the Dogs outlasting the Longhorns in overtime in the SEC championship game, but all four of those top seeds earning the opening round bye, hailing from two different conferences. The top at-large team would have been Notre Dame in that five spot. Ohio State would have been six, Tennessee seven, Indiana eight, Boise State 9, SMU 10, and then Arizona State and Clemson, champions of the Big 12 and the ACC respectively, would have earned those final two automatic bids. ASU would have been the 11 seed. Clemson would have been the 12 seed. So those opening round games would have been Notre Dame in South Bend hosting Clemson. Of course, it was Notre Dame as the 7 seed hosting the 10 seed Indiana in last year's bracket. It would have been Ohio State in Columbus hosting the Big 12 champions in ASU. It was ASU earning the opening round bye and taking on Texas in the college football playoff quarterfinal. It would have been Tennessee hosting SMU and Indiana in Bloomington hosting Boise State. Now, Boise State was the 3 seed last year playing in the Fiesta Bowl in the CFP quarters against Penn State. So the straight seeding model would have looked very different, Joe, than what we saw last year in the initial year of the 12-team format.
And that's the whole point, right? You know, you want a more parity and you want more competitive games, hopefully, in round number one than what we had in terms of the blowouts. And you want to obviously reward teams that have strength of schedule and dominate and have an 11-1 or undefeated record in the regular season. And we didn't have that last year, unfortunately, because of how they seeded the teams. The team with the best record and the best overall ranking in terms of the country, the Oregon Ducks, got really slapped in the face when they had to face the winner of Tennessee and Ohio State. And, you know, so you look at it and look back and say, what could have been, you know, Oregon, if they did, let's say, have a lackluster first round game or second round game, if they had a bye, maybe they wouldn't have had a draw of Ohio State. Maybe they would have had a draw of potentially Arizona State or Boise or Indiana. And that's the whole point, right? You know, maybe they get the bad game out of the way and then they hit stride after the 3 or 4 week layoff. But they are deserving of that, having the number one overall seed. With other teams, you know, you have to fight for it. And it's not going to be easy for these group of five or the teams at the bottom of the ranking, the 11 and the 12s. But that's the whole point. If you're deserving, you run the gauntlet as opposed to having the schedule break your way where you get an easy or a clean ride to the Final Four like basically Penn State had last year.
And I said, right, that oftentimes in sports, a wild card team, a team seeded lower in the bracket in the NCAA men's basketball or women's basketball tournament could have been underperforming, at least based on expectation through the regular season, but finds their footing late. They roll in with momentum. Sometimes you do just get a difficult draw. But I think one of the arguments that Oregon had, and many that backed what the Ducks, not even themselves, were saying, but just in terms of the initial format, Ohio State wasn't the eighth ranked team in the selection committee's rankings. They were sixth. They were better than that 8-9 matchup where they were slotted in, but based on how the bracket worked out and the automatic first round bye for Boise State, who was ranked ninth, and ASU, who was ranked 11th, because they were elevated to the 3 and 4 seeds, that's where you kind of got the weird disparity in what allowed the bracket to look a little bit different. Of course, Ohio State would have had a wildly different path. Had they had beaten ASU at home in Columbus in the Shoe, they would have taken on Texas, not in the semifinal, but in the quarterfinal right away. The Longhorns would have been the 3 seed. We could have seen Penn State and Notre Dame in what we saw in the semifinal, in the quarterfinal as well, in a highly anticipated 4-5 game. And to Joe's point, Oregon might have seen the benefit of the doubt, taking on the winner of Indiana and Boise State in that 8-9 matchup, kind of getting some of those lumps out of the way, and then advancing to the semifinal round. Whether it was the additional rest, whether it was the matchups that we saw, whether it was poor play, Joe, all four of those top seeds last year did lose in their first game in the college football playoff quarterfinal in the 12-team era.
Yeah, and you know, again, they weren't competitive games. I mean, the only game that you could look at from the score perspective was Indiana against Notre Dame, and it took two garbage touchdowns in the final 8 or 9 minutes to potentially close that margin. Other than that, it wasn't even close. So, you know, you hope that this year the round one games not only bring eyes to the product, and we saw those games in the natural landscape of home field advantage, and that's great, watching the games play out in South Bend and Happy Valley. But at the end of the day, you still want to see four-quarter games, not where Penn State and Notre Dame are dominating and rolling by four touchdowns, and it's not even close. So hopefully the seeding helps. Hopefully we see more parity. Hopefully we see more competitive matchups. And ultimately, not just in round one, but it's the semifinal. Now, we had great semifinal games. We did. They were more competitive than they were in round one. But hopefully this adds to it, and we get even tighter games that will go down to the wire and where we see the final 2 or 3 minutes really come into play.
And we highlighted the financial incentives, right, for the ACC, the Big 12, the Group of Five conferences, and why they might vote in favor of straight seeding. It should be said, the CFP Executive Board, it was a unanimous vote to adopt the straight seeding model for the 2025 college football playoff. Financial incentives first and foremost. But I also do believe, Joe, it would have been really cool for Boise State potentially to host on the Smurf Turf an opening round game in the college football playoff, not just playing a neutral site game in Glendale, Arizona in the Fiesta Bowl, or allowing the opportunity for the ACC or Big 12 champion to host an on-campus playoff game, which was not really the case based on the former model that had the four highest ranking conference champions earning that opening round bye and playing in one of those bowl venues. We'll continue to discuss the updated seeding model and what that looks like for 2025 and maybe beyond up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
2025 12-team college football playoff will be straight seeded. What does that mean and what will it look like? That's what we discuss here on FFC. Lisi guy, I have contended, right? And I think our co-host on CFT, Kevin Walsh, feels similarly that if the college football playoff selection committee was using the straight seeding model a season ago, that maybe it wouldn't have been two Big Ten and two SEC teams as the four to all earn the opening round bye in the 12-team college football playoff. That maybe it would have been seeded differently and not just giving Texas the top at-large spot and Penn State the 6th seed. One of the reasons I believe that, Joe, is because, one, that would be incredibly heavily weighted to two conferences and basically telling the rest of college football, heck, if you make the Big Ten or SEC title games, you're going to earn the opening round bye. that could be the case this upcoming year, I do not believe it would be, which leads me to my second point. I also think yesterday was a huge win to adopt the straight seating model for one program above all else. That would be Notre Dame, because when we adopted the 12-team college football playoff in the four highest-ranking conference champs, being the teams to earn the opening round bye, of course, the Irish do not play in a conference, would never have that potential. So the highest the Irish could ever be seeded was fifth in the 12-team college football playoff bracket. Not any longer if Notre Dame is ranked as one of the top four teams in the country in those final committee rankings that reveal the 12-team field. Notre Dame can earn an opening round bye in the CFP.
Yeah, and it will help them in coming years, right? It didn't affect them in any capacity this year because they played in a national championship game against the Ohio State Buckeyes, but you can maybe affect them in regards to rest or wearing down with injury as these years progress and as we see the college football playoff potentially move on and expand. So, yeah, to be in the top four matters for Notre Dame more so than anybody else because they're not in a conference. They're affiliated technically with the ACC and play, you know, six games technically in the conference. But outside of that, they don't have a conference championship. So it's a benefit to be 11-1 or 12-0 and be in the top four and get that bye. That's what you want to see for the Fighting Irish if you're a backer. Yeah. But, you know, again, we'll see. You know, sometimes you take the good, the bad, and the ugly with the byes, right? You know, some byes affect different teams in a certain amount of way, but hopefully the big picture is that teams on rest will move on potentially and challenge for a national championship, and ultimately that's what you want. Top four teams are the top four best teams fighting for a national championship in 25 and beyond.
Yeah, no doubt, Joe. Let's say you were to use the AP Top 25 poll, of course, after conference championship weekend. 1-4 reads as such. Oregon, Georgia, 1-2, same as the CFP. Notre Dame was third, and then Texas, fourth. I do think it could have looked a little bit more like that, where Notre Dame earns a bye, as does Texas, for falling as the favorite in OT to a Georgia team. Also should be noted, in the AP Top 25, Boise State was eighth in front of Indiana. That could have been a game for the Broncos to host on the Smurf turf in the blue against IU. And Arizona State was in front of SMU. Would have been a slightly different opening round matchup. ASU visiting Rocky Top in Tennessee. SMU having a head to the shoe to take on the eventual national champs in Ohio State. Again, that's all revisionist. The College Football Playoff Committee operated within the standard that was the original format last year. We get this now for 2025. And Joe, that might be it. Continued conversation as well on this executive call yesterday for what 2026 is going to look like. An expansion, perhaps, and more than likely, not just perhaps, to 14 or 16 teams. What exactly that looks like, how many automatic qualifiers for the Power Four conferences, how many more do the Big Ten and the SEC get than the ACC and the Big 12, that is still up for debate and outstanding at this time. As you and I have said, we are not in favor of further expansion. They are doing it for the almighty TV revenue and the almighty TV dollar. We do not believe it is best for the purity or the tradition that is college football.
No, and again, that went to the wayside when we expanded and had conference realignment, and we lost rivalries like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in the regular season, and now potentially losing USC and Notre Dame for the coming years. You know, the pageantry that surrounded and shaped college football, it's different now. Unfortunately, it's bigger is better.
So enough of what might have happened or what might will happen moving forward. Let's talk about what is going to happen in 2025. We use the national championship odds to give an early college football playoff look next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We have talked a lot about what the 2024 12-team college football playoff might have looked like. if we had adopted a straight seeding model from the start. Let's talk about what it could look like and what it might look like this upcoming season using the national championship odds for 2025 via the FanDuel Sportsbook. Lisa, I have put together the bracket. It is right here for one of our radio listeners, but looking on the live stream, you can't see it. But I promise you, the rankings and the seedings are all there. Again, we use the national championship odds via the FanDuel Sportsbook. Tiebreakers, you're priced to win a conference championship. Are you more likely than another team to win your respective conference title? What that might mean for your seed, and of course, what that means for a first round bye. So, Lisa Guy, when we look at the top four, here are the four teams earning a bye in the 2025 straight seeded college football playoff. Ohio State 1, Texas 2, Georgia 3, Penn State at 4. Georgia, a better national championship price than that of the Nittany Lions. Penn State and Oregon had the same national title price, but Penn State a better number to win the Big Ten Conference, and thus Penn State earns that fourth and final first round bye. Oregon is our top at-large team. Oregon 5, Alabama 6, Notre Dame 7, Clemson, champions of the ACC, favorites to win the ACC at 8, LSU 9, Ole Miss 10, Kansas State, the favorite to win the Big 12. They are 11. Boise State, the favorites in a minus money way at minus 110 to win the Mountain West in the shortest price of any of our group of five champions to win a national championship, comes in at 12. So those opening round matchups would be Oregon hosting Boise State in Eugene at Autzen Stadium. Alabama hosting Kansas State, the champions of the Big 12 in T-Town in Tuscaloosa. Notre Dame hosting Ole Miss. Clemson hosting LSU in what would be a potential opening game of the year rematch now in the first round of the college football playoff. Lisi, what do you make of this straight seeded 12-team college football playoff for 2025 using those national championship odds?
Well, I mean, it's good. I like it. And Oregon Boise State would be a rematch of last year's game that took place in Eugene, where Ashton Gentry rushed for 175 yards and pushed the Ducks to the limit. Oregon won only that game by 3 points as an 18.5-point home favorite. So, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, if those games play out as is, I mean, you know, that's great. You know, Clemson, LSU to start a week one or let's say a first round game. I mean, come on, doesn't get better than that with the chips in the middle of the table. You have two programs that need to get it done. So, I mean, I have no problem. Here's the problem. But I'm going to keep going back to this. With the love that we have for certain programs, and I get the books assign it with starting value and strength of schedule and all of that, but how we can keep pumping up this Penn State team and Drew Aller, fourth back, I mean, plus 750 on MGM. I don't have the FanDuel odds out. I think the site is down. But at the end of the day, we love Penn State. He hasn't won a big game, Drew, and nor thrown to a wide receiver that mattered when it counts, right? Or throw for over 50%. And James Franklin never knocks off a top 10 or top 5 talent. And we're going to say this is the fourth best price, you know, in the all of the NCAA and college football. You got to be kidding me. I mean, you want to talk about pressure? What are the odds potentially of James Franklin not being there in Happy Valley next year?
Those are very low, I would say, or a very, very long shot for that to be the case, at least based on where they could get to this year. But you are correct, Joe, in terms of that upper echelon for the Nittany Lions, how poor they have been as an underdog against teams they struggle to beat, and of course against those top five or top 10 opponents, how great they have been booked as a favorite. The Nittany Lions, a favorite in their opening two games in Happy Valley against SMU, of course, won that handily. A favorite against Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl, won that game handily. An ever so slight favorite against Notre Dame in the college football playoff semifinal, but of course, the Irish rallying in the second half to pull off the stunner against Penn State in a game that Drew Aller did not complete a pass to a wide receiver. But because of all the returning talent this year, they're for the Penn State Nittany Lions. That, I think, is where the optimism builds. to have your questions, though, Joe, about winning a Big Ten title or winning a national championship, understanding who you would have to beat in doing so, I think are very valid. Penn State right now, currently on FanDuel, plus 800, tied for the fourth best price to win the Natty alongside Oregon, also at plus 800. The Ducks actually have the slightly best win total in the Big Ten this year. 10.5 for Oregon, Ohio State, and Penn State, but a little bit less juice on the under for the Ducks than those other two teams. However, Ohio State is a plus 200 favorite to win the Big Ten. Penn State is in front of Oregon, second best price for the Nittany Lions at plus 240 to win the Big Ten title. The Ducks at plus 270. Thus, in the tiebreaker of the potential college football playoff, Joe, Penn State gets the nod for that final first round bye in front of Oregon, because if we use the odds of what is most likely, it would be the Buckeyes and the Nittany Lions in a Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, I get it. But if I gave you $1,000 to potentially bet on any of these top 12 teams, are you running to the window on James Franklin and Penn State at the plus 750? Or, you know, I know you were high on them last year and everything lined up correctly for them to break down that door. And they get to the college football playoff. They look like they're world beaters against SMU and Boise State. And then all of a sudden they ran into Notre Dame and they got kicked in the chops after having a first quarter lead. So again, you know, that will always remain. You know, there's always optimism with some of these programs. Can they knock down the door? LSU is the same thing. But if I gave you the $1,000, Ben, and I said, you want to bet on Brian Kelly in a big spot or James Franklin in a big spot, I think it's a no. I would take Brian Kelly over James Franklin in a heartbeat. And you're talking about a coach that made it to the college football playoff with Notre Dame not once but twice. And that was with four teams. You got to be kidding me. He beat Nick Saban in Baton Rouge his first year and won an SEC West. What has James Franklin done?
I would give BK the slight edge in front of James Franklin. He would not be the coach I am running to the window to bet right now out of any of the ones that you highlighted there. I would place a wager with your $10,000 on Penn State to win a national championship more so than I would even in comparative value on LSU to win that national championship. Right now, the Tigers, that ninth best price at 19-1. It should be noted, Joe, based on where the odds are for a national championship, that five SEC teams are in this projected 12-team college football playoff field based on straight seeding, three Big Ten schools, and then there are one ACC team, one Big 12 team, one group of five team out of the Mountain West, that being Boise State. Of course, all of them are conference champions. And then Notre Dame, much like we saw a season ago and how heavily dominated it was by the Big Ten and the SEC, four Big Ten schools, three SEC schools, two ACC teams with SMU and Clemson, of course, the independent in Notre Dame, the Big 12 champ in ASU, and with Boise State out of the Mountain West.
Yeah, again, you know, you bring up great odds across the board and you know, what's it going to take? No, what's it going to take for a group of five? You name the handful of teams, and the usual suspects are always there. Boise State. Can we see an outlier this year? Arizona State was the outlier for the Big 12. Nobody saw, you know, Kenny Dillingham and Arizona State come and pick dead last in a lot of, you know, rankings for them in the Big 12, and they ran the gamut. Can we get a team like Missouri or North Carolina or Baylor to do that? If so, you're getting great odds right now in May.
So let's talk about it on the other side of the break. Some of those potential long shots for a college football playoff field in the 12-team era, maybe for the last time in 2025. We'll do that up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So the projected 2025 college football playoff field using straight seeding via the FanDuel National Championship odds we have laid out for you. But I thought Lisi made a great point. If we were having this conversation last year, we would have never thought that Indiana was a college football playoff team in 2024. We probably would have had a harder time believing SMU would have been a playoff team. Now, in the ACC, from the AAC in 2024, and Joe, we certainly would not have picked Arizona State to be the champions of the Big 12 in year number two under Kenny Dillingham. In fact, nobody in that conference thought ASU had any potential of doing that. They were picked dead last, 16th out of 16 in the conference in the preseason media poll. So how about a couple of teams that might surprise us? How about a couple of teams that can make some noise we are not expecting right here, right now, entering Memorial Day weekend, either to win a conference, maybe win that conference and use the automatic berth to the college football playoff, or just be a really good team within their conference to be ranked high enough as an at-large team in the 2025 CFP. At least if you look in the national championship odds, win totals, conference title prices, who are a couple of teams that you think might be being slept on at this moment?
Well, I think deep shots, you look at South Carolina at 40-1, you know, and I'm not going to keep pumping LSU, but I believe LSU is that team. I've already said why with right. Garrett Nussmeier and those wide receivers. But South Carolina is very intriguing because you look at the body of work towards the end of the regular season and how dominant they were after the Ole Miss loss and how they beat up in Clemson and come from behind fashion to, you know, hand the Tigers their loss in Death Valley. I mean, that was very dominating. One of the best defensive fronts that we've seen with Dylan Stewart and Lenora Sellers and that offensive line wore down bigger physical teams. And again, so if we're looking at this, look at the three teams last year. SMU, Kevin Jennings came on, was one of the best quarterbacks in the country statistically, right? You need a dominant quarterback. You look at Indiana, Rourke, that came over from Ohio. Boise State maybe didn't have Madsen as elite, but they had the best running back in the country in Ashton Jeanty.
Right.
You need an elite offensive player. I believe South Carolina has that with Lenora Sellers. So, again, you could take a game over. Outside of that, deep shots, I would take a shot on John Mateer and Oklahoma. We talked about Oklahoma. It's a hard schedule, but John Mateer is a gamer. He's a dual-threat quarterback. If he lives up to expectations and Brett Venables has that defense where we think they could be, at 40-1, it's worth the money. You know, outside of that, Ben, I mean, you're grasping at straws. Could Nebraska, could Matt Rhule be that guy? I mean, 100-1, could Rayola be that guy? I mean, or is an 8-win season more in the realm of possibility? You would hope that Nebraska could do it. Great value, but, you know, for me, it's in that 40-50 range as opposed to grasping at the 200-1 or 150-1 range.
Yeah, and Joe, in the 12-team bracket that we laid out via the national championship odds, five SEC teams right in there, two teams, of course, that earned that opening round bye in Texas, the SEC favorites and thus the SEC champions in that spot, Georgia as well, Alabama, LSU, and Ole Miss. Ole Miss was the final at-large team, seeded 10th in that projected CFP field. The teams just behind Ole Miss that miss out from the at-large perspective because still giving the automatic bids to conference champs, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Florida, Oklahoma, Auburn, I'm not so sure, but OU and Auburn both at 50-1. Miami and Michigan, non-SEC at-large teams that were just on the outside, 33-1 and 33-1, respectively. I'll just say this for the Maize and Blue. We'll see about Bryce Underwood, right? And he could be that eventual starter for Michigan entering this upcoming season. They could go with the veteran and Mikey Keen, the Fresno State transfer. I think Bryce Underwood ultimately becomes that guy early in the season, if not right from the jump in week number one. They do play Oklahoma in Norman week number two. But, Joe, at least by Big Ten standards, Michigan has an easy schedule this year. If the Wolverines do not win 9 games, if the Wolverines do not go over 8.5 wins, which is their win total, and they've got hefty juice to do just that at minus 152 on the over of 8.5, there will be some serious conversations about Sherrone Moore, and those will be warranted because Michigan's schedule, playing in a Power Four conference, especially in the Big Two, and by Big Ten standards, as easy as it comes this year in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, but again, you can't average, Ben, 125, 130 passing yards per game with Underwood or Mikey Keene. Now, Mikey Keene did, you know, put up dynamic numbers for Fresno State when he was healthy. They averaged close to about 280 passing yards per game. Didn't put up numbers against Michigan when they played week number one, but hopefully in that offense, it's a little bit different. Loveland's gone. What is the offensive philosophy? You lose Cummings and you lose, obviously, Donovan Edwards. What does that do to the rushing attack? So we'll see. But here's the other thing. I'll just sprinkle this. Rumor on the LSU and Michigan boards is that Underwood and his mom were talking to LSU staff again. I'm just saying they're claiming the NIL money wasn't as, you know, as big as they thought. I'm just saying you never know. You never know. But tell me if I'm wrong, though. You're right about Michigan. That, you know, from a schedule perspective, they're going to be there, and they have the brand recognition. You go 10-2 this year in Ann Arbor, you're most likely knocking down that door, whether you're a Big Ten champ or not. You know, can they do it? Is it worth the money? Yeah, I would say it's worth the money because you think you bang on defense and running the football, and that's sometimes what it gets, you know, done. I'll throw out two that I think are just outliers. Iowa State, because of the quarterback, Rocco Becht, and I like Baylor just as a long shot. If we're talking Arizona State type of trajectory, what Sawyer Robertson and what that team did at the end of the regular season from an offensive perspective, they took huge strides in the Big 12. They could be that team. I don't know about the defense, but that's a Randa's specialty. From an offense, to at least maybe challenge for a Big 12 championship, not bad at 125-1.
We'll talk more about the Big 12 up next. The reason that in the projected bracket, Kansas State earns that Big 12 automatic spot into the college football playoff and is seeded 11th is not because K-State has a better national championship price than Utah or ASU, but a better Big 12 price. More on FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So via the national championship odds on FanDuel, Kansas State, who is the favorite to win the Big 12, gets to be in the 12-team college football playoff. Because if you win a conference and you are one of the five highest-ranked conference champions, you still get the automatic bid, even in the straight-seeded format. But K-State, Joe, of Big 12 programs, did not have the best price to win a national championship. That would be Utah and Arizona State, both at 110-1. ASU might have snuck up on some folks last year. They will not this year. Joe, the top two teams in the country in terms of returning production both play at the Power Four level. Clemson is first. Arizona State is second. And anytime you have your quarterback coming back, that would be Sam Levitt with his top target in Jordan Tyson recovering from the knee injury. That's a good sign to build around for a program builder to the nth degree in Kenny Dillingham. Now, the reason that Kansas State got the nod is because K-State is 6-1 to win the Big 12, but Utah and ASU just a half buck behind at plus 650 in the team that you mentioned, Sawyer Robertson and his Baylor Bears, along with your guys in Lubbock, Texas Tech and the Red Raiders, all that those two teams, Joe, at 7-1. So K-State, Utah, ASU, Baylor, Texas Tech. Five teams right now in the Big 12 title odds separated by only a dollar. It will be tightly contested in the Big 12 once again.
It will, and I'm going to, you know, I like Baylor. I like Texas Tech. I like them offensively. Do I buy into the defense? That's the one thing, Joey McGuire, you know, that secondary got abused, one of the worst in college football last year. Aranda hasn't lived up to expectations as much after his first season when he takes the team to a January 6th bowl and they knock off Ole Miss and Matt Corral. I need to see more of that before I buy in. The reason why, and let me just say this quickly, you know, everybody will talk about Sam Levitt and Cam Scatterbull in the offense. But the reason why Arizona State was able to challenge Texas in the semifinal playoff game was the defense. They only allowed, Ben, 112 rushing yards per game, well less than 4.5 yards per carry. They held Texas to 1.3 yards per carry and 53 rushing yards in that game. If that defense could take the next step and duplicate what they did last year, Kenny Dillingham is going to be there again. And Arizona State's deserving. Do I believe they could do it? I'm a little hesitant, and that's why I can't buy in right now. But the way that team played against BYU defensively at the end of the year, you give me that Sun Devil team, they could go toe-to-toe with anyone.
Yeah, Joe, for me, it's completely agreeing with you and what ASU really did well at the end of last season. Best rushing defense in the Big 12. That was going to be a key against Texas. And we saw that in a big way for the Sun Devils. A lot of those guys up front return this year in Tempe. That's going to be key for Arizona State as well. Lisi, there's a team right around those national championship prices of all the Big 12 teams, 110-1, 120-1. Let's work our way down ever so slightly, 150-1. You bet your bottom dollar. You better keep an eye on Brett Bielema and the Illinois Fighting Illini this year out of the Big Ten. So much returning talent from a year ago, including their quarterback in Luke Altmyer, and a defense that was great that has a lot of those guys coming back, like Gabe Aukus as well, one of the best edge rushers in the Big Ten. Illinois returned 17 starters from a team that won double-digit games for the first time since the early 2000s. I believe Illinois can be a team, much like Indiana, that comes, and Indiana had a lot larger ground to make up. I think Illinois is that team with a favorable Big Ten schedule, Joe, that can make some noise in the Big Ten and maybe even challenge for a college football playoff spot.
Hey, Luke Altmyer stayed, right? That was a big thing. Decided to stay. You know, there were rumors that he would move on. And again, when you run the football, defensively, front seven was fantastic. You know, very good and forced defense offenses to work down the field. What more can you ask for? Brett Bielema has shown this type of success in multiple stops, last Wisconsin, and obviously with his days and even in Arkansas on the first path. Can he continue that? A lot of pressure on them. He got a long-term deal. I believe they could do it. What do they have? Look, your point, 14, 15 starters coming back. That matters. I'll say this, hot seat, Luke Fickell, Wisconsin. Now or never, you better step up.
You completely agree, Joe. There were some changes this offseason for the Badgers. They brought some guys in, some guys left before they were even there for a game. But a decent amount of returning production elsewhere in that Badgers roster. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Have a great holiday weekend, everybody. Football Full Circle returns on Tuesday.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.